Welcome to this week's episode of Azentuary. We left off last time having run desperately trying to make it through shadows with little skittering things inside, bursting through the tiny door one after another. Finally, at the end, Foxglove makes it through just in time to fall to the ground at Barry's feet. She lays there, unmoving. So we'll start out. Foxglove, I need you to make an intelligence save.
Oh, wait, Foxglove's good.
Yeah, Foxglove's the smart one.
Make that a 7.
Okay, so she is out, not moving. Barry, you poke and prod and get nothing. And Poplar, you see Grimmel, like, holding, you know, feathered hands to head, like, quiet, quiet, quiet. Almost like there's someone yelling at them. So, first, given this setup, what do you guys do?
Me grab Foxglove. Me drag her in further into room to safety.
All right. You drag her in. She is totally limp. Not moving. Grimmel comes over and sounds all angry and says, "Ah! Got a message! I need to be conduit! Ah, come here!" And orders you guys to come over and then puts an arm down onto Foxglove body and holds up another for you guys to come over. And when Barry and Poplart touch Grimmel, all of a sudden everything goes black. You guys find yourself in kind of a fuzzy fog. There's images flashing, and Foxglove, you are at a performance. You recognize it. It's almost like a tape replaying. You're at a tavern you were at recently, maybe just a couple months back. There's a bunch of kind of grumpy looking humans there. You were promised to be paid well, but apparently there just wasn't that much money to go around. And things are starting to heat up. You look across the room, and you see two faces that you don't recognize from that performance. It's Barry and Poplart at the back of the room. What do you guys... Do you guys say anything, do anything, etc.?
Me very confused. Me not know why me is all of a sudden in tavern listening to Foxglove perform. It might take a while for me to come to grips with this.
Oh, this is interesting.
Oh, Foxglove, you remember this. You remember doing a great performance, and at the end there was a bar fight, and you were really angry because you didn't get properly paid.
Sounds about right.
But you have not performed yet. You're right back where you were pre-performance.
Huh. So I recognize that this is a memory.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't think I've come across this experience before. Quite an interesting thing to be trapped in one's own memory, isn't it?
You hear the crowd yelling, "Play! Play! Play!"
Well, I suppose I shall give them a show. Wait a minute. If I remember this memory correctly, then they didn't pay me after the show, so why on earth would I perform it? Performing. I already know what's going to happen.
Alright, you set your instrument back down. Like, you started picking it up, you put it back down. And make a dex save.
That's always a good sign, isn't it?
18, let's go, suckers!
Nice. You dodge your head to the side as what you're pretty sure you caught from the corner of your eye to be a tomato go flying past and hit the post behind you.
Alright, perhaps I'll persuade these fools, these ignoramus. Alright, you buffoons. If you would like me to perform at your tinky little establishment, then I want half of my money up front.
The crowd kind of looks back and forth at each other. A roll of persuasion.
Oh boy.
Six.
They yell, play, play, play! And a bunch of, like, lettuce and stuff gets chucked up at you on stage. Obviously nothing is chunky as a potato or a tomato this time.
Wait a minute, I have an idea. Could I slip vicious mockery into my son?
I guess it's not meant to attack more than one person. You're supposed to identify a target.
The target is the room.
What about instead of giving them all damage, I just give them all migraines? And that's my payoff for letting it affect more than one person.
I guess it is, a migraine is damage.
Well then fine, just a pesky headache, a ringing in the ear, anything to annoy these suckers.
Fair enough, you don't have any other...
Singing off-key.
No! I'm better than singing off-key just to annoy some buffoons.
Hey, yeah, I mean, sure, let's... I'm trying to think if there's a good way you could do this, and... Well, I mean, we've established that... You know, it's in your head, so I guess, yeah, you could vicious mockery basically yourself and it would hurt all of them.
Huh. It is right, it is my dream, isn't it?
So, yeah, go for it. You could manipulate this world as you see fit.
Alrighty then. I shall perform for them and slip in some vicious mockery just to annoy the crap out of them.
Sure. I like this. Go ahead and... Oh, what are we going to roll for this?
I know. It's a predicament.
Well, let's roll like 1d4 twice and then take the higher number. And that's how much damage you do.
4.
Ah, there you go. Everyone is like, quiet, quiet, no, it's horrible.
Oh, but you wanted me to sing, so now you must suffer. I don't really care, I'm not your mother.
Oh, that's good. All right, at this, so interestingly enough, you, even though it seems to be hurting all of them, you notice that Barry and Poplart don't seem to be affected. They're just standing there watching this whole thing. And as you start to sing that song you were singing, some of the angry ones turn at the back and look at Barry and Poplart. And you can't quite hear them at the back, but you can see on their lips they're saying something like, "You don't belong."
All right. I shall go up to the ones in the back and pummel them.
Okay, you jump off stage?
Sure.
All right, as you do, you notice that the crowd splits, like Moses parting the seas, or I guess Charlton Heston parting the seas. And they follow you. Their eyes are fixed as now you have jumped down, which you didn't do in real life, so the memory is changing. And they're focusing now on what has caused the change.
changes.
Well, isn't this eerie?
So that begs to question about this memory world of mine. I mean, really, we should be doing more research about this, isn't it? Like, we don't know anything about these kinds of situations. But I guess I'll continue walking.
Alright, you continue walking and they continue splitting and... let's see, Poplar and Barry, give me a perception check.
That's... Is me even in her dream?
You are.
You're in the back.
I got.
You rolled that one.
Oh, Poplar gets 14.
All right. So Barry, you're just kind of like looking over at a banner that looks really weird. That we'll say that, you know, at some point Foxglove had seen and thought, oh. Kind of interesting. Nice work. Maybe I'll steal it later. But Poplar, you notice that with every step that Foxglove takes closer to you, that at least a dozen eyes from the crowd actually turn, look past her, and focus on you.
Hey, babe, Barry, I get the feeling that maybe we should be careful a little bit. Like, I do appreciate attention and all, but, you know, it's a kind of, you know, something, maybe different types of attention, you know? This is, doesn't seem very nice.
What?
Just, Me not
understand.
Upload just kind of gently nudges Barry's head to, and points at the eyes all staring us at us like,
yeah, you see that?
Me not understand why they're staring at us.
Well, obviously, I mean, we are quite sexy, as you might think, but I get the feeling that those aren't really like lovey-dovey eyes. I figured you might have a better understanding of what lovey-dovey eyes are.
Not really. Me not have much success yet.
Right. Okay. Well, all right, well, tell you what. You just go ahead and keep sitting here looking all you, and I'm just gonna maybe make my way this way.
Papa gets up and starts trying to find a door.
You find the entrance door and kind of slip through it, and you find as you back out, slipping through, you back yourself right back into the room.
Oh.
The door leads right to the same place you were.
Oh, this is interesting. Are there any rafters?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tavern.
All right. Poplar just as he comes back in is like, all right, well, enjoy the show, guys, and flies up and sits in the rafters.
So from your now eagle eye vantage point, you can see that about half the room is staring up at you and the other half is staring at Barry. And as the group splits further, as Foxglove finally reaches Barry, the entire column on his side moves towards him.
Now, Barry, I'm not an expert tactician, but that is a lot of people.
Yeah, me not know much about... Me not set up for group fighting. Let's see. Yell out to crowd, hey, if you want to experience love from love goddess's paladin, line forms to left.
Trying to decide if that's a persuasion or an intimidation check. Well, I guess, yeah, you could try to persuade them if you want, or intimidate them into it. You take a pick.
All right. Me roll for intimidation. Maybe they run away.
Okay.
Oh, for crying out loud. Me roll 8.
Oh, man. All right,
rolling ones and twos.
I don't know what to tell you. Well, you got to quit using the... It's the D, you're supposed to use the D20, not the D2, you know.
Was the D20.
I was trying to make you feel better.
What would a D2 even be? A toothpick?
D1 is
what,
a ping
what would
pong
a D2
ball
be?
D2 is a coin.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I like that definition. Okay, so 5 of them leap at you, Barry.
All right.
So I need you to make a strength saving throw.
Hopefully I can roll. I'll roll 3 this time, I bet. Oh, no. Much better. 18.
Oh, yeah.
Or,
so,
no, sorry, 17.
Well, still, those 5 jump on you and try to take you down, and you spin and turn and knock them off, casting them to the side.
Yeah. Freya, also goddess of, well, me paladin. Me know how to fight.
Very nice. All right. Foxglove, do you want to do anything? You've now made it here. You witnessed this thing happen to Barry. And, well, I guess Poplar fly into the rafters.
Well, it's... Again, I've never been in a memory of mine before. I don't really know what to exactly do about it. Perhaps if I put the memory back to normal, perhaps everyone will stop trying to kill my friends. It's a possibility, I suppose. Maybe I should try it out? I mean, I guess I'll go back to the stage, see what happens. I don't know. Nothing can get worse at this point.
Right. Well, as you climb back on the stage, do you start, like, just playing right away, like the song that you were playing that night?
Yeah, I suppose I shall.
Okay.
Changes.
So...
Don't change a thing. Changes.
Okay, so the front row turns back and is supporting you, but behind them there's an additional 6 that stay focused and move on Barry. And Poplart, as you look down, you notice the various people starting to grab something from their coats, like they're getting ready to do something to you.
Well, she's singing and they're not paying attention to her?
So the front rows, the way I rolled it, the front rows of people were paying attention to her, but the back 2 rows are focused entirely on you guys.
But you said that the people who are focused on me seem like they're going to cause me... Well, they're gonna do something, and I'm guessing it's unsavory.
The ones that are focused on you seem calm. Like they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And then the last rows are looking at these interlopers like they're not supposed to be there.
Huh.
Me draw longsword me slowly draw a long sword and then drive point into floor and stand there and radiate menace.
Nice. You have to roll for that?
I'll try intimidation again.
What doesn't menace, isn't that like an orcish ability that you're like causing fear or something?
I don't think so. Let me
menace, 5e orc racial trait.
I do have menacing.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
I'm not sure exactly how that works.
Oh, you add your proficiency bonus to it. So, when you do your intimidation, if you use menace and you roll for intimidation, you also get your proficiency bonus on top of your roll.
Okay, cool. Let me see what my double check, I think. What's my proficiency? Oh, it's only plus 2. Weird. Okay. All right.
Still pretty low level.
Yeah, it was still low level, but it is pretty cool that you get to do that.
Okay. Well, so intimidation, I already have a plus 6 on that because that is charisma based. And so then
8.
Yeah, so I'll bump that up to 8. So that gives me a dirty 20.
Nice. Yeah, so you do what you did there. Let me just do a quick roll. Oh, yeah. Every single one of them fails and basically gives you a very wide berth. They all move far back and away from you. They turn away almost like kind of looking to check on you, like they know they're supposed to be doing something, but they're too afraid to approach.
Yeah. Nice.
Poplart, do you do anything?
I look to see... I have a multitude of coins sitting in my pocket. I start chucking little coins at them. Distract them.
So, interestingly enough, they don't seem to be interested.
Papa just looks down and says, "Sorry, Barry, out of ideas. Want some coins?"
Me reply, "Throw them at Foxglove. Well, at Foxglove's feet. Maybe crowd will follow suit."
Not a bad idea. Let's start chucking a few more at the feet.
Ah, now, roll persuasion.
Oh, that's 17.
Nice. So, you get others to start doing that. And all of a sudden, starting with the guys that are at the back by Barry and the ones that were looking up at you, they start just kind of disappearing, just fading out of existence. And it moves like a wave forward until there's no one left but the three of you in the room.
Aha! Behold the power of shinies!
This really weird.
There's...
I don't think people valuing shiny stuff's that weird. We have odd priorities in life.
No, the fact that people disappeared. I swear, Poplart, sometimes I wonder about you.
Oh, what do you wonder?
You hear...
how dumb you really are.
Hey, I resemble that remark.
And you hear a crunching sound. It's kind of coming from the air all around you. And you get this kind of fuzzy feeling, and the whole tavern begins to get wibbly wobbly, like, you know, heat ripples off of concrete on a hot summer's day. And you blink. You look around. Now, Foxglove, when you were becoming a bard, did you go to the Bard Academy?
I believe I did.
So, can you kind of describe the academy for us? Like, what did it look like?
Well, it was on the cheaper side, definitely, but overall it was a rather... What's the word? Social, like, classist kind of system. Mm-hmm. Being a former street rat and urchin myself, it didn't give me any popularity points, I'll tell you that. Other than that, the atmosphere was good to any outsiders. Quite inviting, mostly so we could get more money for fundraising.
Interesting. And
Bard's Academy for people who want to learn to do sing and do stuff.
At Bard's Academy who aren't very good at singing and do stuff and want to be able to do that stuff better.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, while you were there, there was one bard who particularly played into the classism. He was obviously from a noble family and liked to harass you. Was a real pain in the lower back.
Mm-hmm.
Let's call him Fanquet.
Fanquet?
No, Fanquet. It's like a nobleman's name that the fantasy name generator kicked out for me. So he, in this scene that you have set now, is a memory you have. There's a time when you were learning to play, and you thought you had just done rather well. You, say, rolled a solid 15, though, you know, your skill level is still low, you were learning. But he was relentless, giving you nothing but a nasty, vicious mockery as the others were applauding.
Whoever's making me relive this memory is really do like taking the bad ones, don't they? Why can't they let me relive of the first time I saw a rainbow, or when I met that stray cat, you know? Anything other than this.
As you mention and think of the rainbow, you notice he kind of blinks and shakes his head, almost like it threw off something.
Hmm. All right, then. Whatever's making me relive these memories, they're forgetting all the good ones. About how the time I joined the Adventurers Guild and got my first paycheck. The time I made my first friends, even though they are dimwits. How about the first time we cleared out something together? We felt real proud of ourselves then, didn't we? Or any other time I felt proud or happy. That isn't this a lovely lot that has presented me with.
You notice he keeps shaking his head out of character as if it's a different person that's in his suit. Like, they're almost like there's a Franquette marionette in front of you.
And you, whoever you are. I don't know what your game at is or what you're playing at, sir, but whatever it is, then it needs to stop right now, because you cannot mess with Foxglove. That is just something you cannot and will not do, and I shall not allow it.
You standing up to him being so uncharacteristic for this memory, this point in your life. He looks over and makes eye contact with Barry and Poplart, keeps shaking his head, his eyes get big, and he goes to say something, but instead there is a sudden, loud, ringing, intense, like painfully intense noise that erupts from him. An explosion in a 10-foot sphere around him. And I need everyone to make a constitution saving throw.
Oh, 16.
Oh.
19.
Wow, nice. You said nat 20?
Yep.
So you take absolutely no damage. You just stand there as this wave of sound rushes over you. The other two, Foxglove and Poplart, you hold your ears as the ringing comes and some blood trickles out, taking 5 damage each.
Ah.
Okay, I've just about had it with these. I pull out my rapier.
Awesome. He looks shocked, as you did not have a rapier at the time of this memory. He's not sure how to react.
Well, I'm going to show him how to react, and that is that hopefully he doesn't block. I shall attack him.
Well, roll the hit.
Where my dice go? 19 to hit.
Oh yeah, you hit.
9 damage.
You feel your rapier slide even through the chain shirt that he is wearing and pierce into him. It looks incredibly painful. He doesn't necessarily show it on his face, but it looks incredibly painful.
Well, what happens now?
Well, you do that, and I guess the others need to roll initiative.
Me roll initiative. Me roll a 9.
Foxlove gets the top.
What does little fairy man roll?
19.
Good lord.
I got a lot of decks.
Well, Poplart, you can get a go next.
All right. Who else do we have around us here?
It's just Fop.
Fop. There's just... Yeah, just this one. It was a one-on-one thing going on. There are other what appears to be bards in training, but they look like shadows and dust. Just like a crowd frozen in time that's not even there. You know, like an after image of sorts.
All right. I suppose then I start off by hiding and preparing my bow. I'm not sure where I can hide. Is there like a good space aside from behind Barry?
There is not.
All right. And I don't suppose hiding behind Barry really counts. So,
Why not? He's twice your... He's like 4 of you.
Yeah, but does that really count as hiding and getting an advantage on an attack by hiding behind someone? I mean, it kind of can be if I just pop around and do stuff, but it's really kind of bending the rules.
It's fine. You could literally hang on his back and Barry could be like, say hello to my little friend as you like flip out between his legs and fire your bow
at him. Then I do that. Like, ha ha ha!
All right.
And
so I guess you swing down and take a shot.
Except for the fact I just rolled the hide, and I guess I can hide as a bonus action, but no, I got a nat 1 on my hiding.
Oh, yeah, you go to, I guess, hide behind Barry, and I'm not sure what happens.
I run into his leg
instead.
I'm not
sure how to deal with a nat.
I go to try to hide in, and instead I go, bonk! And, yeah. Mm.
And he's well-armored, so you bonk yourself pretty good. Yeah.
And then I guess I go, ha ah! And try to take a shot at disadvantage, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
All right, so that's a 10 to hit.
That does not hit. The little birdie distracts you too much. Oh, as a side effect of where you're existing currently, when you bonked yourself, a little bluebird started flying in circles around your head.
Shoo, shoo, shoo!
All right, Barry, you just had Poplart slam into you, and he's now flipping his hand above his head, trying to shoo something that you can't see.
Me not care. Me step forward, punch Pop in face.
Awesome. I guess give me a roll to hit, and then do your strength.
Ken. Telegraphed punch.
Yeah. He just kind of tips to the side. And he goes, you forgot to say the magic word. And while you do that, do a charisma save.
Eight.
All right, you failed that, so you have disadvantage on ability checks, attack rolls, and saving throws. Until at least the end of your next turn, I guess, is the way I'm reading it. All right, so he has a bit of fun and finesse. Let's see. I guess he jumps up. Acts very, very proud. He looks like he's been almost imbued with bravery and draws out his short sword, which, we'll be fair, is quite pathetic in comparison to what Foxglove brought to the fight. But nonetheless, he goes, "On guard! Ha ha!" And takes a stab right at Barry. And that is a... Well, let's just say he misses.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's really pathetic. I rolled a 13.
That's not pathetic. That's actually not too bad. I'd kill for a 13 right now.
Oh, all right. Well, I thought he would roll higher. In any case, Well, that didn't work. As he looks down and at his weapon, it is Foxglove. What do you do?
All right. Well, the rapier seemed to at least hurt him a little bit. But instead, I am going to cast Thunder Wave. Oh, wait, okay. Actually. how close are my party members?
Me right next to you, basically.
How dare you? So annoying. I've wanted to use this spell for so long, but they're always right next to me, and I don't want to hurt them. For once. Alright, never mind then. I suppose I'll attack it with my rapier again. Seemed to work the first time, at least. That is a 14 to hit.
Which does not hit.
Well, gosh dang it.
Yep.
Poppycock.
You go. Yeah. You go to slide your weapon in, and he dodges out of the way, and you feel it just like chink across his shirt. Poplar?
Are you trying to get back and hiding behind Barry again, because I'm not really sure I like being out here with the a fancy guy who's hurting me with his mind. And also birds. So, let me see here. Hey, I actually got a successful hide this time. I got 27.
Yep, you are well hidden, well, behind yeah. Barry.
And then I pop between his legs to try and fire an arrow. And that's a 21 to hit.
Whew. Yeah, you swing down and you hit.
All right. And this arrow is hidden. Let's see here. It was for... and then... it hits for 17 damage.
Dang.
That'll teach that no all good right. thingy-ma-thing that, you know, gives me birds in the face.
Alright. Well, alright, Barry, it is your turn, and you are... you have a disadvantage to attack.
How long did you say this was good for?
Just this round.
No. Me try menace again.
Oh. Oh, okay. I'm trying. All right. Go for it.
Nice. 26.
Yeah, that totally scares the crap out of him.
Does he, like, stumble back a few steps or what?
Yeah, why not? Let's just say, yeah, exactly. It's two steps back. He is absolutely terrified at the moment. And in his panic, he in his panic and turning to and trying to back up, get away, you feel a wave of thunderous force slam into you. And I need a constitution save from everyone.
13.
Huh. 11.
All right, and Foxglove?
12.
11, 12, 13. Just wow. Like we roll.
Alright. Well, everyone takes 10 thunder damage and is blasted 10 feet away from everyone else.
Hey, question. When we started this, did we get our full health or whatever health we were at?
Yes. You started at full because you were entering the... you're entering a different world.
Okay, but, thank God.
Yeah, it's your idealized self, if you will.
Okay. I am not dead then. Great. Anyway, whatever, I live. Alrighty.
Alright. So, he does that, and he is trying to move away from you, Foxglove. You're now, like, let's say 15 feet comfortably away from him as he is turning and trying to flee.
Now you can use some Thunder Wave, because we're all 10 feet apart from each other now.
Alright, then. I'm going to go up to him and at least get within 10 feet of him, and then cast Thunder Wave.
Okay. Roll the cast. Make sure you don't nat one.
16 to cast.
Nice. You're good. And he fails his save, so roll that beautiful thunder damage.
Pidoki, let's see how you like it, mister.
Thunder.
That was almost as much damage as it could be. That is a 15.
Holy crap.
I know, it's 2d8. I rolled a 7 and an 8.
Well, the good news is you do that, and he goes flying forward, slams into the ground, goes down, and does not get up.
Yay, I've conquered the demons of my past. You guys should be cheering right now.
Yay.
And scattering me his flowers and rose petals.
Me give golf clap.
This is the worst celebratory recognition I've ever gotten.
You say worst or most?
As
worst.
Bratwurst?
No, not bratwurst. Oh. We aren't here to think about food. We're here to think about why we're here and why we were here in the first place.
Uplart nudges Barry and says, "By the way, what's recognition? I always heard about it, but never quite seen it."
Me neither.
Oh, that's simple. Just become a bard like me, and you'll get it all the time.
Me not think Uplart has enough talent as singer.
Oh, that's fine. He just has to look the part.
So, as you guys are verbally jabbing at each other, the body that had been cast asunder starts melting into the ground, and with it a hole forms and melts over under you. You fear for a moment like you're going to fall in, but then you realize that it just washes over you and you find yourself standing in a street. It seems to be a city somewhere. You can't quite make it out. Except Foxglove. You recognize it. Or at least you think you do. Roll a history check.
Oh, great. This is another memory. Four.
You don't actually seem to remember the city name, but you do recognize the street. In fact, you see a very small elf child wrapped in rags, and you believe you recognize her.
Yes, I kind of believe I do.
You wish to set the scene?
I can. If you so wish, DM.
Well, I'm just offering. You don't have to. I can go off almost infinitely, but I thought this is your history. You might want to color it.
Well, this was before I became a bard. Back when I was simply an urchin who just mooched off people or even stole. I didn't like stealing, though. I would often perform on the streets. Some people would shoo me away, but some were nice and offered me gold coins for my performances. I guess that's why I chose being a bard when it came to it. This particular day, I think I remember particularly hungry this day, but there was just no foot traffic. I couldn't get any money or food for that part. I remember it being cold. Those days I don't remember much other than that. Being hungry and cold and feeling sorry for myself.
But you were trying to find warmth. There was a house, known by many, a place of sorcerers that seemed to emanate heat from its walls. A place that you could go and hide and stay a little bit warm. You knew it well. It was down the neighboring street, and when you went around the corner, you noticed an unusual-looking man dressed head to toe in a robe, something that looked out of place for this area, something that looked particularly unusual. He entered that building, that nice, warm hearth of a building.
I wondered who he was. But I guess it hardly matters now anyways.
Well, except you did find that warmth. You go and you curl up next to it. But something happens. Inside, as you're waiting, you hear shouting. You hear cursing. You can't make out what exactly is going on. There seems to be a variety of languages spewing out from the wall overhead. Suddenly, pieces come flying down, rocks tumble over and hit you in the head, and you see in the adjacent building glowing red coins embed themselves in the wall and then melt away. A few of the drops rain down. They hit you in the feet. At first, there is a slight burn, but you feel the realization that the secret to your future is to acquire wealth, to get money. Something touched you that day, and there's something in that building still. You're locked here. You see yourself in the alleyway, and the three of you, Foxglove, Poplart, and now adult Foxglove, Poplart, and Barry, are standing there next to the building.
Me, really confused.
Believe me, I am too. All right then, memory of mine. Let's see how much you can actually answer for me, shall we? I'm going to barge into that building. I know what I encounter.
Here we go again.
Look, Barry, this is my memory, and I get to choose what I do with it.
We follow.
It's my memory, and I want it now.
You burst into the building, and though you actually had never seen it before, this entire structure is laid out before you. Every detail comes in absolutely clear. At the core of a group of sorcerers, you see in some type of a being holding a spear, the torso and arms of a man, but the head of a demon, and where there should be legs, there was simply a large, some 25 feet of writhing, coiled snake coming out of it. It extends hands, piercing the skulls of sorcerers left and right, throwing coins at them, and then one at the very entrance, slams down, his hands on the ground, callings for some intervention, and the creature disappears. That was the wizard you saw, the one that entered that day. And now he turns, looking at you, having burst inside. He almost hisses out, "What are you doing here?"
Frankly, I don't know, sir. But I'm here to ask some questions. One of which is, if you're so powerful like I believe you to be, why am I trapped in my own memories? Perhaps if you're one of the NPCs that my mind has made up, maybe you can answer that for me.
He kind of chuckles a low chuckle. Oh, you're not trapped in here. Here is ceasing to exist.
What?
Make a intelligence save.
Well, we all know that this party is strong for that, aren't we?
You are the smartest one.
Yes, but I have an intelligence of plus zero, and that's a 3.
Ooh. Okay. Roll me a 1d100.
Well, that's just grand. That's just dandy, ain't it? 45.
You try to ask another question, and instead what comes out is babbling. It's no known language of any kind. You suddenly find that you cannot form words.
Well, I would say something on the matter, but it seems that I can't.
No, in fact, even that comes out as...
I suppose I'll just listen to whatever this man has to say. If anything at all.
He just kind of cocks his head and says, "You see what I mean? You should have just enjoyed the memories you had while you could. Now you've made it here. There's so little left for you."
So what exactly is this that, will like a bless or a cure wounds affect her at all?
You have to try that to find out.
I don't think bless will do it. Me track your wounds on Foxglove.
Okay. Remember, you have to roll to cast that.
I'm guessing it's a first level spell.
Ah, well then roll to cast.
Good lord. 10. I mean, I'm assuming she's not unwilling, so it shouldn't be that hard.
Well, no, but in her state, you still had to beat my roll, which you did.
Oh, so thank you do God cast.
Yeah, you do cast Cure Wounds, and go ahead and do the hit points restored as well.
Okay. Now I gotta look again. 1d8. Two plus six is 8.
Nice. So, go ahead, Foxglove, and add 8 hit points back to your total. And make a wisdom save with advantage.
Nat 20.
Nice. You shake off the effect. You start realizing you can speak perfectly again, and you feel something else, almost like a little blessing that you're not sure what it is.
All right, Buster. You're going to tell me what you mean by losing my memories. What exactly is going on here if you're so knowledgeable about all this?
You regained the ability to speak, but lost your accent. Oh, the horror.
I still have my accent, fine.
Porky, you become like Mary Poppins, y'all.
Unlike some Robin Hoods, I can speak with an English accent.
To every job, there's an element
Fox
of fun.
Let's move to Croydon.
Anyway. Man, if we ever get a British listener, we're in trouble.
Your blessings helps the archers go down.
I love it. Perfect. Okay, you asked a question, sorry. And he just looks at you and he's like, all of these things you have witnessed, they're here to help you find yourself, so you can hold on just a little longer. Your friend Gremmel is trying so desperately to help you by showing you these building blocks.
Why would Gremmel want to help me? He's evil. Strives for it every day, actually.
Gremmel doesn't have a choice in the matter if he wishes to maintain his patron.
Huh. Okay, so what am I exactly supposed to do here? You just kind of thrust me into this situation without an ounce of direction or warning.
Well, I don't particularly have any control in the matter. I'm just a figment of your imagination.
This is really a quest to find out who I am, then why do I even need it? I know who I am. My performer name is Foxglove. I perform for any person I meet. I value money more than anything. I've had a hard life, but it's the life that's gotten me here. If there's anything else you need to know about me, then I don't say I get you.
Oh, but as I've pointed out, I don't particularly need to know any of this. I am just a figment of your imagination. There is something coming, though. Something that you will have to fight against. In the meantime, I do have to do something to hold you here while it works its way to this point. So, I do suppose we have to fight now. I'm terribly sorry about this.
And, no, you want and no, you don't.
Well, as he says it, he lifts up what just looks like a quarterstaff at first, and then as he taps the butt on the ground, a full, like, sickle scythe extends horizontally out of the top of the staff.
Ooh, can I have a response?
Sure.
Me cast Bless.
Okay. Cool. So the whole party's blessed?
Yes.
Nice.
So 16. 16 to cast.
Nice. Well, that's very successful.
Yes. So, for the benefit of my party, whenever a target makes an attack roll or a saving throw before the spell ends, the target can roll a d4 and add the number rolled to the attack roll or saving throw. So now you guys get an extra d4.
God bless us, everyone.
Yes, Freya is good.
Freya, but you did that. I don't want to really... I don't feel like giving credit where it's not due. I mean, that was your doing.
You can say that again,
okay.
Popla.
I don't want to give credit where it's not due. That was your doing.
My power comes from Freya.
I don't see her. This whole god thing is just really crazy.
All right, do you guys want to roll initiative?
Oh, yes. Me roll initiative.
D20. Do, 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 do. Ah.
30, 20.
Dirty 8.
Right.
Me roll 18. This discussion about gods and goddesses really distracted me.
Alright, well, Foxglove, you are in control. You have the ability to move first, as he has stated that you have to fight now.
Alright. Since it's worked so well in this memory world, I guess my rapier is the best way to go.
Go for it.
Well, that's not going to hit. I got an 11.
You are correct. It does not hit.
Great.
Yep. Now, all right, so, well, Barry, you're next in turn order. I was just giving you the bless to start us out. So you cast this here. I was going to give it to, you know, Foxglove for this one. But then we go to the next person. So the sorcerer, he takes a step backwards, raising his scythe, and brings it over his head, piercing it into the ground. And as he does, you hear a unworldly, like an otherworldly scream, like if a skeleton were to be letting out a torturous, like, wail, and a ripple of just energy comes blasting through the room. I need everyone to make a constitution saving throw.
I don't think the plus 4 is going to help that much.
14?
Yeah.
Wait, we get a plus 4?
We're blessed.
So that's 8.
Oh, 1d4.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you get roll a 1d4, you roll an add-on.
14. 17.
Not bad.
Poplar got 15.
Ugh. Nat 20.
Oh.
Jeez. Barry coming out. Pop
yes, sir.
15, you said? All right. We are... Let me make sure I read this correctly. So, let's see. Poplart fails, Foxglove saves, and Barry takes absolutely no damage. Foxglove, your save. Oh, good. That can't be right. Oh, yeah. That's the wrong thing. Sorry. Tried to use an online dice roller, and it didn't come out right. I put the wrong formula in. That's why I just prefer to roll them personally. All right. Foxglove, you take 12 necrotic damage, and Poplart, you get blasted with a full 24.
Poplart falls over unconscious.
That was a good
and
save,
the smell Barry. Of burnt brownies permeates the air.
It's so bad, in fact. Actually, let's see. Poplar, give me a persuasion roll really
persuasion.
Quick.
Persuasion. 16.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, the sorcerer begins to cough, and you see him, like, basically hack up a lung as he takes 3 damage from the smell of how badly burnt those brownies are.
Aha! See? Even in death, you cannot escape the power of the brownie.
I mostly just thought it would be hilarious. Anyway. All right. And it is, I guess, Poplart, it is your turn, so I need you to do a death saving throw.
That's a fail.
Okay. Noted. Okay, Foxglove.
Barry, you. How are you doing on health?
All right, I'm going to run over and cast Cure Wounds on Poplaw.
Great.
I don't know.
Did it work? Or I guess, what's your role for that?
She hasn't rolled yet. She's still looking.
Oh, okay. I was just confused. I was like, wait, something fell through here.
Okay. That is a 17 to cast.
Very successful.
And 9 health points back.
Nice. Let's see here. Did our damage from the last time around carry over? The last memory.
You mean the last battle? Oh. Yes.
All right. Okay, so that means, let's see here, that was 34 total. Minus 3. All right, I'm at 6 hit points. Yay! The brownies smell slightly less burned.
And you regain consciousness. All right, Barry, it's you.
All right. Me run at wizard and take wild swing with sword.
Go for it.
Seventeen to hit.
Oh, that very much hits.
And I didn't even roll my extra 1d4. Ooh, that is 14 damage.
Ouch.
You rolled a 10 on that.
All right. Well, that was a heck of a good hit. I mean, you really knocked him back. Let's see. He, as you slam into him, and he lifts his hand up, you see a swirl of darkness completely encase his body, and he disappears. It moves outward like a sphere. It's like the lights are dimming, beginning with him. Let's see. And what does he do with that? Ah! I've never been one much for the magic user types, so takes me a moment. All right. I will roll to see. Yes, he is successful. A ray of green energy shoots out from the darkness and it hits you, Barry, straight in the chest. And I need you to make a constitution save.
Not good. Twelve
does not save. And you take 12, and it is poison damage. Unless you're immune or resistant or something.
Nope.
All right. Poplart.
Poplart goes, and he's going to run and try to hide somewhere. We're in kind of a... I'm trying to think what area. I know, I'm trying to think what the building structure would be like. Whether there'd be pillars or something around to hold up the roof.
Well, it's a summoning spot for sorcerers, so I'm sure there would be many steps and columns.
So, I go to try and hide behind a column. Is there one nearby?
Within your movement range, yes.
And I run over there and try to hide. And, that's a 26 to hide.
Oh, you're very hidden.
All right. And then in my hiding spot, a quick little, quick shot.
Do you have dark vision? Okay.
Well, that's a disadvantage, right?
You are most definitely at disadvantage here, yes.
So my 9 to hit probably isn't good enough.
No, it does not hit.
Okay.
Did you add your 1d4 to that?
No. Oh, 9 plus 2 is 11.
Still does not hit.
I kind of assumed as much.
All right, Foxglove.
All right, rapier it is. Hopefully I can hit it this time.
Do you have dark vision?
I do.
Awesome. So you're just going to charge right up into that expanding orb of darkness?
Yep. Does the blessing work for to hit?
It saves and to hit.
Oh, no. Yes? Okay.
Yes, I believe that's the point.
Then that is a dirty 20.
Dang. Yeah, that hits. You call that shot and you just slam it right into him.
All right.
Nailed it.
5 damage.
All right. He takes that hit and he's just like, "What? How did you? Ow." All right, Barry.
All right. Me also leap forward and take mighty swing through darkness with sword.
And you have dark vision?
Yes.
Awesome. Yep, you leap in, and also you are able to track and see exactly where Foxglove went. Do you bring down your sword for... What's your to hit?
Me rolling. Me not doing well. Oh, wait. What's that? Oh, wait. 11 plus 6. Oh, 17. Ha ha! Oh! Yes, 17 to hit.
Dang, yeah, that hits.
Thank goodness for buffs. It is... 11 damage.
All right. So you basically, can I explain this? Foxglove jumped in, pierced him, held him in place. You came in and you slashed him like a forensics dummy on Forged in Fire. Just basically cut him in half.
He sliced him in twain?
Yep. And all of a sudden you hear Poplart from the back kind of squeak, "Mark!"
Mark?
Yeah, because you sliced him in twain.
It's okay.
I know, that was bad.
Literature reference.
Well, that's better than all of the, crematory jokes we were making today.
Yeah, I bet you guys were on fire.
Yeah, we were. Well, we were, but we did eventually get pretty burnt out. Anyway, it's one of those setups you really got to earn.
No, the thing is, a lot of people are like, kind of put off against the mortuary industry for some reason, but at the end of the day, it's the one, like, business that everyone's dying to get into.
Yeah.
What is this? What is the title of this episode going to be called? Reliving Tragic Past with Puns?
Wait, so does that mean your past is full of puns? Or
past puny business?
Yeah.
Potentially posthumous punny business?
Oh, I kind of like that one.
Anyway. So, the guy gets cut down, and the two halves hit the ground, and he's fading away, and you hear this, "Ugh, I'm half the man I used to be," he disappears into the dust. Anyway.
I mean, if he really was a member of my subconscious, then I guess he's a little more punny than I would have given him credit for.
Maybe you were just killing that part of yourself.
You know, just oppressing it.
Yeah. So,
I tried stand-up comedian one time. It did not work out, so that's why I just sing now.
That's totally fair. I mean, it makes sense to me. So the ground begins to shake, and there's this, can I describe this? This feeling you have that there is something crawling its way, clawing its way up from, like, the depths of the darkness. And as the walls around you turn into first dust and smoke and then clear, and you realize that you're on an open plain, a floor of little more than what looks to be some degraded stone extending as far as the eye can see in all directions, and from the ground rises up what looks at the center to be like an exposed brain. Below it, legs of various almost insectoids coming off, a tail of cartilage, mouth with pinchers and little bits of, like, tentacles sticking off on the front side. It looks at you and hisses. Roll your new initiatives.
Why does my brain have such a bone to pick with me? It doesn't even have any bones.
Who says it's your brain?
Well, I would just assume that it is. By the way, Foxglove got a 10.
Upler got 16.
Alright.
Say, they're really taking these drug awareness commercials to the next level. Like, this is your brain on drugs.
Yeah, right.
Me got 13.
Awesome. Well, so, funnily enough, that puts Poplart at the top.
Is there, like, an upper area of this pillar structure? Like a rafter thing that I can scurry up to?
Oh, no. Oh, everything has melted away. The pillars melted away. The structure melted away. It's just you and it.
How far am I from Barry?
Oh, from Barry? Let's see. He was up ahead of you before. Let's call it, like,
all right, so
15,
within range to
feet.
Hide behind his pretty bulky, close. Manly legs. All right, bonus action. I go in there.
Absolutely.
And hide. I get 16 to hide. Am I hiding?
Let's see. I don't know why not. Let's see. What is your intelligence?
8 minus 1.
I just needed to know. So, while you are physically hidden, you get the feeling that the creature knows exactly where you are.
Okay, well, that's not reassuring. So that's no sneak attacks or anything. Anyway, I tried to attack anyway. Buff a shot from the safety of Barry's leg coverage. And that is a 12 to hit. Unless we're still blessed.
Does not hit. Oh, you should be. I don't know why you wouldn't be.
And that is a 13 to hit. Yep.
And one.
Hoplite's not doing so well with his combat this game.
Yeah, your arrow goes flying straight at it, and it snatches it out of the air with its tentacle, brings it into its mouth, and crunches down,
Hoplite breaking just says, your arrow in half.
All right, Barry.
Me try attacking it with sword. Actually, no, wait. How far away is it?
Oh, let's call it 20 feet ahead of you. Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, all right. At least 20 feet. Me leap forward and take swing with sword.
Awesome. Swing.
Not for Christmas. Well, let's see. 13 to hit.
You bounce your sword off of one of its keratin shielded arms. And as you do, it swings back. Not that it's going to do particularly well, but it swings that claw to hit you with a 14 to hit.
That does not hit.
And now that you have moved and it focuses for a moment on Poplart, who became exposed. And Poplart, I need you to make an intelligence saving throw.
That's a grand total of 3.
Okay.
I didn't. Well, let me see if that's going to really save me here. Wait. Oh, I went up to 6.
Okay. Your intelligence score is reduced to 0. And you fall over incapacitated as a babbling idiot.
I'm pretty sure that it's not much of a downgrade for me normally, so yay.
Yeah, I was going to say that kind of checks out.
Me think we're all going to die.
Fox Glove, it's your turn.
Dying in my brain. There isn't any cemeteries in my brain. You're going to have to die elsewhere.
Ooh, I like that. I have a style point for that one.
Oh, what?
Style point.
Yay. Where the points all made up and the rules don't matter. Alrighty.
Hey, this isn't the internet.
Yeah, it's not like we're on Reddit or something.
Alright. If only. Attack with my rapier seems to have been doing the trick, I guess.
There, you run up and stab in.
For 18.
Oh, that hits.
Six damage. No, wait, eight damage.
Eight? Nice. Eight. Yeah, you give it a stab and it pulls back. twitches. You heard it.
Well, good. This is my brain. It should at least know that.
Well, you're the first one to hurt it, which is great. All right, let's see. Well, got Poplard, who's on the ground as a babbling idiot. Let's see. Yeah, there's nothing you can do. I'm just reading the text here. Okay, well, we're going to move on to Barry, I guess.
Me try swinging again.
Holy cow.
Nat 20.
Nice.
Make up for the 3 I rolled last
Barry
time.
Over here.
Alright.
Alright. Let me roll again. Oh, not so much. Not so good. Let me see. The second roll is 17.
Holy crap. No, you did quite well. So, yeah, you come around and you give it a massive blow, left, right, left, right, and you just start dicing off pieces of brain, and you see it start to wobble, basically looking like it had been given a full lobotomy. It's dying, but there seems to be something linking it, something holding it. It tries to claw at Foxglove, seemingly only able to see her now. It moves closer, trying but missing repeatedly to hit. Foxglove, what do you do?
I stab with my rapier.
Awesome. Give me a quick roll to hit, just to make sure.
Well. 26.
Holy crap! You pierce it right into the midpoint of the brain.
Off with
and
your
it
head.
Drops. There's twitches left and right. And the world starts to fade. Everything starts going black. And then you blink. Your eyes open. And you feel something like oozing its way out of you. Out of the side of your head, out of your ear, comes this like mass of almost ground hamburger and fluid as it flops to the floor, and everyone else sees it and is just like, ew.
Am I no longer babbling?
No, what?
Aha, I shall just babble regularly then.
Am I awake now, or am I still unconscious?
You're awake.
I never want something like that inside me again. And that's what she said.
Sounds like a few women I've dated.
Should we just go out on that Cascadia
moment? The kind of thing that any father would
feel like
love
we should
hear.
Stop there. That's the Costanza moment. Anyway, yes, everyone's you're awake. You're sitting in this cave. Grimmel looks quite worse for the wear. It is babbling about. Zeratan, bidding done. tired and just kind of tips over.
Well, that's bloody useful, ain't it?
It'd have been worse.
Yeah, I suppose we could be dead in my hellhole of a memoryscape.
Exactly. I mean, your memory does not seem that cozy and stuff. Like...
it's not. It really isn't.
I mean, I suppose I can see where all these issues are coming from now.
Huh. Issues? Like you're any better than me, Pipsqueak. I don't have any issues.
I'm fine with who I am. I help people. Yeah. I lose things all the time, and I help them.
Well, if you ever need any pointers in seeing your own personal flaws, be free to call me up. Thanks. I'll point them out for free.
Appreciate the offer, though.
How delightful.
Isn't it?
Well, should we say it's safe to say that you guys spend the next little while basically getting your heads back on straight, getting Grimmel upright again, basically becoming functional?
I think functional
so you
might
can
be
move
a
on.
Bit of an overstatement.
Yeah. We think we need a long rest.
Yes, well, I believe that would be good. I think everyone should just kind of... yeah, like, after everything, you guys have dealt with the physical trauma, psychological trauma, all of it. You just need some decompression time. So, we'll say you just make camp and relax. Try to...
okay.
Yep, deal with whatever you need to deal with. And I think it's been a few games now, so I think it's about time we level up. Is that right?
Oh, good. Yeah. We need more hit points.
We go to level 5.
Oh, perfect.
Yes, level 5.
Yes, you have survived adventures both of the physical and of the mind.
Yes. Yes, we're not really equipped to do mind travails.
You did well, though. You mean you survived?
Oh. Yeah. Just a couple of babbling.
No.
But I would say, as a party, the, you know, fighting our mind is not really our strong suit.
Definitely my mind. You get out of there. Oh, yes, it... my proficiency
yeah,
bonus
all of us should have
levels
plus 3
up.
Now. Better at being bad.
Obviously.
What did you get? So what did you guys think of the, oh crap, we're not going to have a player, let's make this work idea?
No, it worked well.
It did. Good. I wasn't expecting I would get all the spotlight. I was like, oh god, okay, I guess this is happening.
Well... the way the previous episode had ended, and then when we found out about Grimmel not going to be here, I thought, oh, perfect.
Yeah, it actually worked out really well.
I've realized that I've changed Foxglove's voice like 3 times now.
That's fine.
Wow, she definitely hasn't gotten an Australian accent yet. I would have noticed.
See, I was just thinking I sounded like Tangerine and Lemon from Bullet Train.
Ah, yes. I
decided to name us Tangerine and Lemon. Well, you're Lemon because nobody likes lemons. People like lemons, lemon drops, lemon meringue pie. When was the last time you had a lemon meringue pie?
They're more of, you're making them sound too posh. They're more of like, when's the last time, let's see if I can do it right. When's the last time you had a lemon meringue pie? I can't even do Croydon. It comes out Australian.
It does.
But like you, the South Londoner accent.
I'm just doing whatever accent I really feel like. I'm not the best at accents. Even though I've done multiple shows now where I have to utilize accents. See, the accent is morphing as I'm talking about accents.
Fun fact about that South London place, though. So, Croydon's infamous for being kind of the rough part of London and having that, like, really dirty, gruff accent to it. And I actually met someone one time from Croydon that did not sound like they were from there. And I was like, wow, you really don't sound like you're from Croydon. And they got pissed off. They're like, not everyone in Croydon sounds like they're like that. And when other British people heard it, they were like, you know, isn't that a compliment to say, for someone to say they don't, you don't sound like you're from Croydon? Apparently in England, it's very accent-y. Like, you get discriminated against for the way you speak.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. But the funny...
Absolutely.
Sorry, go ahead.
It's like I watched... Oh, go ahead. Say I watched this one show one time, some dumb dating show where this English lord guy got involved with this chick from Georgia, and he brought her to meet his friends, and she said blueberry, and one of his friends corrected her and said, it's not blueberry, it's blueberry.
Oh, you're from Oregon. So, yeah. Do they have lots of oregano there?
Like, no, we pronounce our consonants. We don't just draw out our vowels.
This has been an Azentuary LLC production. Find us online at azentuary.com for our character bios, merchandise, Patreon, and more. Thank you for listening.
I was talking about my online career.